This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters, and a happy July 4th to you all. You know, today is our 400th show. We've been on the air for 7.5 years, and I am so honored to be your host each week. I'm deeply grateful to our amazing team at Interactive Parenting Media, and of course to our listeners throughout the Bay Area, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Eureka, Santa Rosa, and all of you who listen via the web and podcasts. It's great that some of our listeners have joined us on Facebook. I really like knowing where you're from and who's out there listening, like Kevin John Boucher from Germany. So congratulations to all of us for 400 Childhood Matters shows, and a special thanks to the father in Richmond who inspired me to do this work many, many years ago. He said one night in the parenting class that I was teaching that he now understood why he shouldn't hurt his child anymore. And right then I realized that I needed to find a way for others to hear his authentic voice. So these shows are for you, parents, grandparents, foster parents, teachers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. Call us and take part in the conversation. Today we'll focus on teen pregnancy prevention and education. And if you have young children, keep listening, because you'll be teaching your children about their bodies, boundaries, and sexuality before you know it. It's never too young to start. Although birth rates to teen mothers have decreased some, teen pregnancy and parenting continues to be a significant social problem, and pregnancy is the primary reason young women drop out of school early. Teen mothers tend to experience more pregnancy-related problems, in part due to inequities in access to prenatal care, and also issues that stop women from seeking out care early on. There are many good teen mothers and fathers who take excellent care of their babies, live up to their responsibilities, and get support for raising happy and healthy children. And there are also many teen parents who are struggling. The overwhelming majority of teen births are unplanned and preventable. We know that comprehensive sex education, good communication with adults about sexuality, abstinence education, and access to contraceptives can reduce the number of unintended teen pregnancies. As one of my guests told me, every dollar invested saves society $9.25. So unintended pregnancies impact everyone. If you want to be part of this conversation, call us, 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. How do you talk to your children about pregnancy prevention, sex, and sexuality? And what questions do you have for us? Joining us in the studio is Jeffrey Gould. He's training and curriculum coordinator for the teenage program at the Family, Maternal, and Child Health Contra Costa Health Services. He has 20 years of experience working in the fields of human sexuality, and in the last 7 years, he's focused his work on adolescent sexual health by providing classroom education, curriculum development, teacher trainings, and youth development programs. He has his master's in divinity from the Graduate Theological Union. Jeffrey Gould, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Good morning, and thank you.
Also joining us by phone is Margaret Madams. She's the Senior Regional Director with Planned Parenthood, Shasta Diablo's Community Services and Education Department. She's been there since 1997 and has responsibility for a number of programs spanning Contra Costa and Napa counties. She regularly conducts workshops for elementary, middle, and high school students and for people with special needs. Her passion is for working with parents and helping promote communication around healthy sexuality. Margaret was instrumental in developing a parent-child workshop series entitled My Body, Myself, for kindergarten through first grade children and their parents. She is a mother and now has 2 grandsons. Margaret Madams, thank you for joining us while you're on vacation.
Thanks, Rona. It's great to be back on the show.
Thanks so much. We're going to start with you, Jeffrey. You've been working with teens in many different capacities. What do you think are some of the basic causes of unintended pregnancies in teens?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say to start with the most basic, it's human nature. Teens are going through hormone changes, and this is the time when they are most fertile and biologically when the system wants to have kids. So we're fighting against that, I think, is the first thing. The second thing is just kind of the nature of arousal. When people get sexually excited, there are a lot of chemicals in the brain that shut down the things that make us think clearly.
Like the frontal lobe where there's impulse control.
Well, yes, exactly. And also teens, their frontal lobe's not properly developed yet. I mean, it's still going through a lot of changes, and they don't understand risk so well. So those are some of the basic issues. I think drugs and alcohol is a big issue. Teens using, that's often when unintended pregnancies occur. Not planning or thinking ahead when they have an encounter. So when they do have a sexual encounter, they haven't thought about it, they haven't planned ahead, they haven't thought what they were going to do, and they find themselves in a situation, and often there's no protection. I think fear of talking and negotiating with their partner is a big one. Education. Although sexuality education, HIV in particular, and comprehensive sex ed in some cases is required in the state of California, it doesn't always happen in schools, and it doesn't always happen effectively. So I don't think teens are getting the information they need. Then there's stuff like just family relationships and what's going on in family. If a youth has experienced any kind of DV, in the family,
domestic violence
in the family, mm-hmm. that can lead to increased risk. And then also just the power influences in relationships. Dating violence is another big issue.
You know, that's a great list to start with. I also know that in some of the research that's been done that mothers who were teen moms, I think their children also are more likely to be teen moms. There's a way in which there's a cycle that gets passed on.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to do. Margaret Maddams, what do you think about what Jeffrey Gould just said?
Jeff raised some really good points there, and those certainly stand up, you know, with the research that we've seen. There's another factor that happens in times of economic downturn. Teens don't see a future for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why finish high school? Why go to college? There's no jobs out there. That parenting becomes an option, and social norms within certain cultures make that something that is an option for them. So that's, you know, something else that I would add on to what
yes.
Jeff said.
Very, very important point there. I mean, we do, when you look at the statistics, you know, kidsdata.org is a great place to go for information on statistics and data throughout California in terms of the health and well-being of our kids. And I was looking there last night, and I saw also that the larger numbers of unintended teen pregnancies are in the Latino community here in the Bay Area. And when you said that, I was just thinking also about, you know, the support of family in the Latino communities, and I'm sure there's a cultural piece there that's part of the equation.
Yeah. As far as what we've heard, there's a real difference with Latinas and dating older men, and that whole cultural difference of, you know, finding a husband, an older man, and settling down, and we're seeing a lot of pregnancies from that. Also, anecdotally, from some of the clinics that we run, we are finding that a lot of young women are wanting to get pregnant. They're disappointed when they come in and get a pregnancy test and it's negative. And they're wanting to get pregnant because they want to get out of their houses. They want to move in with their boyfriends. And or they actually just want somebody who loves them unconditionally.
Yeah.
And that the baby's an idea of that.
So it's complex. There's not not a simple answer here. And I thought, Margaret, maybe you could give us some basic information to start off with about the strategies that seem to work to prevent the unintended pregnancies and births.
Okay, great. Well, actually, let's not forget that nationwide, 50% of all pregnancies, that's not just teen pregnancies, but 50% of all pregnancies are unplanned.
Yeah.
So that's a staggering statistic for us to be struggling with when we talk about preventing unintended teen pregnancy.
Yes.
So it's quite an enormous task that we have. Strategies that have worked, you know, California has been very successful over the past decade in reducing teen birth rates by 53%. A decade or more ago, we were number three in the nation for highest teen births. And we are one of the few states right now that is still seeing a drop in the teen birth rate. So, you know, we've done wonderful stuff. We are one of the few states that has a state office of family planning. So there's some money behind it, not as much as we would like. and I'm sure Jeff would echo that.
Yes, I would.
But, you know, putting some money behind comprehensive sex ed, early intervention, it's never too early to start. I heard you say that, Rona, that communication about sex is just so imperative. Parents feeling comfortable in communicating with their kids. A study a few years back by the Kaiser Family Foundation found that when parents and kids communicate about sexuality, teens are much more likely to use a condom at first sexual encounter.
That's a really important point there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where parents who are listening this morning, fathers, mothers, no matter what age your child is, it's that connection around being comfortable talking about sexuality, which isn't something easy. I've raised four kids. I know that it was rough for me sometimes talking about these issues that were not talked about when I was growing up. But I think what you just said is key, that in fact it's a great intervention, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's been proven to work. There are a number of curricula out there that agencies like Planned Parenthood, agencies like the Contra Costa Health Just Teenage program are using in the schools, that talk not just about the 101 of your body parts and calling body parts by their correct names, you know, out of respect for our bodies, but in talking about decision making and skill building, negotiating with a partner and respect for ourselves. Those are all strategies that, wrapped up into a package, have meant this phenomenal drop of 53% in the teen birth rate.
Well, we're doing something, and again, there's a lot more work to do. Margaret, I'm going to hold you there while we take a call. There's a lot to talk about on this subject today, and I want to hear from our listeners, because there are a lot of parents out there who are doing their best to help their kids, and we have a call now from Valerie in San Jose. She's going to talk with us. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how old are your kids?
I have a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 21-year-old.
Uh-huh. So what about this subject in terms of the work you've done with your kids or any questions you have?
Well, what I've done with my kids is basically have an open communication with them, and I've talked to them early on about their bodies and what changes they are going to be experiencing and feelings that they might come across, and so they feel very open to come to me and ask me questions when something arises at school or some subject comes up with their friends. We've always had that communication, and as well as me, my husband also talks to them. So they have a very good rapport with my husband.
Which is really important, because sometimes parents think that the mom should only talk to the daughters and the man should only talk to the sons. And in fact, I don't think that's the way to go necessarily, right, Jeffrey?
Yeah, or isn't say the mom talks to both.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that starting young is the key. You have to start really young. You can't start it when they're 16 and say, okay, well, let's talk about this. So good job on starting young, and definitely having the role models of both parents talking to the youth just demonstrates a relationship as well.
Valerie, how did you feel comfortable doing this? I mean, was this something that your parents did with you?
No, actually, my parents never talked to me about sex at all. I mean, in general, or even our bodies as they matured and what was the change. That it was something we didn't talk about in our household. And my father, I mean, that was like a no-no. Never even
right. That was a no-no.
Yeah. So, I just, when I grew up, I said, you know, I was going to have an open communication with my daughters when I grew up, because I didn't have that with my family. But even so, I grew up more kind of like in the sense that I was afraid, like I can't, you know, have sex because my mom and dad would kill me or whatever.
Right.
That kind of mentality. And with my daughters, it's more of it's not so much that you can't have sex, it's if you're going to have sex, come talk to me. Let's talk about birth control and other, other ramifications that come along with having sex before you guys go and do something that you might regret doing.
You know, and again, your ability to do something different than what you had is so much of what we have to do as parents. We have to take what was good about how our parents parented us, and then we have to think, what do my kids need? Margaret, this is a big one, isn't it, for parents who didn't have that kind of education themselves?
Yeah, I can think back to my own teen years, and I think one of the things, and I want to commend Valerie. She sounds like she's doing such a great job in talking and communicating about sex and sexuality. But I think one of the things growing up, we were told all of the, you know, don't do it, you'll get pregnant, you'll get a sexually transmitted infection. But no one ever talked to us actually about sexual pleasure and how this is something wonderful. And you know, kids aren't stupid. They ask the question, why, when there's all of these consequences. So being open, not just about the sex 101, but all of the aspects of being a sexual person.
Valerie,
yes,
thank you for that, Margaret. Valerie, does your daughter, have your children also gotten sex education in the schools?
Yes, they have.
And you've been fine with that?
Yes, I've been fine with that.
Great. Well, do you have any questions for our experts here? I mean, your daughter still lives, you have a couple who still live at home, right?
All three of them still live at home.
They all live at home. Any questions for our wonderful experts?
No, not really. I mean, right now, like I said, everything seems to be going well. They come to me and talk to me when they need something or when they have questions, or if they don't come to me, they come to my husband. So.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, it's wonderful. You know, I have a book here. I'm going to send it to you, even though you may not need it because you've done such a great job, but it's so wonderful, and we'll have the author on later talking to us. It's called It's Perfectly Normal, Changing Bodies, Growing Up, Sex and Sexual Health by Robi Harris. And she has these series of books for different ages, but this one's really good. It's for the older teenager. And it has fabulous pictures and lots of information about pregnancy and birth and bodies. So I think you might enjoy it and enjoy looking at it with your kids. So, okay. Valerie, thank you so much for calling this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Okay.
Valerie's a wonderful example. And sadly, not all parents feel like they're in the same situation where they can talk to their kids. And another thing that they might want to do if they don't feel comfortable talking to their kids is find another trusted adult, whether it be a kid's aunt or uncle or family friend or somebody that youth might feel comfortable talking to. You know, have a discussion with them ahead of time. Make sure that you're on the same place values-wise. But sometimes that can be an easier way for young people to actually have someone to talk to outside of parents.
Yeah, and I think also, Margaret, my sense is that parents need support. I know I did. I got books. I watched a video. I remember my husband, who's helping us here in the studio this morning. Thank you, Mick. He and one of my sons, you know, sat and watched a video together. So, Margaret, I guess a lot of the work of Planned Parenthood is also to have materials available to parents.
Absolutely. And it's really not just about the talk, which I think we remember from our youth. Little and often, start early, continue that process. Planned Parenthood has a number of resources available at our resource center in Concord in Contra Costa County, where you can rent videos, you can pick up brochures, we have books for sale. Robi Harris is one of my favorites. I love her. It's so amazing for the younger crowd. We carry those books, and those are available. They're a wonderful resource. Leave them lying around if you're not comfortable in
the
discussion. Just leave them lying around, and you'll see the kids, you know, even the younger ones, just sneaking a peek. And that's the start. That's the framework to build on and continue this process throughout their lives. It's an ongoing process, and if kids sense that you're comfortable with it, they will come to you. It's so easy to shut them down if you're uncomfortable.
That's right.
Sending them the message that this is an okay thing, and if you don't have all the answers, let them know that.
Or that's right.
Let them know that no one talked to me about this, so I'm glad that you're coming to me. This is good.
Good, and this is what we're talking about this morning. I'd love people to call in. Do you think that talking about sexuality encourages early sexuality? How do you talk with your kids about unintended pregnancy? In a moment, we'll talk with you.
Thank you. Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Come out to a 4th of July parade in downtown Novato today, July 4, from 11 to 2:30. For more information, call 415-899-8900. That's 415-899-8900. Take part in an all-day family celebration at Jack London Square in downtown Oakland. Delicious food, hula hoop fun, and more. Today, July 4, from 12 to 4. For more information, call 510-444-2489. That's 510-444-2489. Check out the fireworks at Gabrielson Park in Sausalito today, July 4, from 6:30 to 9:30. For more information, call 415-289-4152. That's 415-289-4152. Spend the day outside in Santa Clara Central Park. Fun, free, and family-friendly activities will be going on all day with fireworks to follow. Today, July 4, from 8 to 5. For more information, call 408-615-2220. That's 408-615-2220. Enjoy an outdoor showing of the Black Stallion in Walnut Creek, sponsored by the Contra Costa JCC, Thursday, July 8, from 6:30 to 8:30. For more information, call 925-938-7800. That's 925-938-7800. Celebrate 80 years of history at the Kitty Capers Parade in Old Town Salinas, Saturday, July 10, from 5 to 7:30. For more information, call 831-775-3100. That's 831-775-3100. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Summer is in full swing, and along with the added fun comes added risk, especially around water. Drowning is the second leading cause of death for children, so practicing water safety is a must. Pools and lakes offer a great opportunity for physical activity, but remember to be careful around them as well. Be aware that flotation devices and life vests can lose air or slip out from under a child. If you have a pool at home, make sure to install a fence or a wall that's at least 4 feet high around the pool, and keep the gate closed at all times. Parents and caregivers should always monitor and stay close by whenever kids are in or near water. For more information on outdoor summer safety, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting www.firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
Continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Jeffrey Gould, Training and Curriculum Coordinator for the Teenage Program at Contra Costa Health Services, and Margaret Madam, Senior Regional Director with Planned Parenthood, Shasta Diablos Community Services and Education Department. You know, as I was just listening to the little song here, Color Them Father, I just don't want to leave men out of this picture. We haven't, but I want to focus on also the need for young men to get education, support, encouragement, to be part of this picture. I'm sure in your work, Jeff, in the schools, you're really trying to reach out in your school-based health clinics. You're trying to reach out to young men a lot.
Male involvement is one of the biggest struggles that I think anyone has, and I'm sure Margaret can speak to that as well. It's really difficult to get males to see that this is their issue as well. It's the women that get pregnant, not the men. You know, there's also a lot of other issues around machismo and other things that keep young men from actually pursuing the information. But the thing that always amazes me when we do go in the classroom, and usually we go in the classroom in ninth grade, the youth are starving for this information. And we do a lot of work in our classroom educations to try and answer all the youth's questions and really set up a safe space. And you can just see the look in their eye when they find out, when they realize that you're actually going to give them some information and answer their questions, the youth just, I mean, they love it because they have so many questions and so much misinformation. So it's really powerful.
Wow. Margaret, in terms of men and boys, teens' involvement in this this important issue around, you know, are we going to be parents, you know, in our teen years? What does Planned Parenthood provide?
Well, sadly, over recent years, we've experienced significant funding cuts. The state used to have a male involvement program that was specifically geared to men, to teens, to young men, and giving them good role models, teaching them about their responsibilities. The tagline for that program some years ago was "Men are half the equation," and that, you know, is such a true fact. Men are, as well as our teen girls too, are bombarded by media messages. But, you know, we need to let our men know, what does it mean to be a man? What are your responsibilities? It doesn't just stop at having sexual intercourse. There's a whole lot more that goes on there. And making good decisions, being respectful of your partner, it all plays into it. So we're doing what we can with limited resources at Planned Parenthood Just Diablo, but it's certainly a part of what we discuss in our multi-session comprehensive sex ed programs.
Well, and here in California, it's not required to anymore, right, to do sex education in middle school and high school.
It's not required. HIV education is required, which is the very basics. And if you go beyond that, then it does trigger the recommendation of comprehensive sex ed. And that is that if you decide, if a school district decides they're going to do comprehensive sex ed, there are a list of things that they have to cover, but they're really not comprehensive. It really is boils down to anatomy, disease, and prevention. There's not a lot of stuff in there about relationships and negotiations. I mean, a little bit of negotiation skills, but not enough.
So who decides, you know, if my child is in West County or in Marin or somewhere else, who's deciding whether sex education is going to be covered in the schools? Is this the school board? Is this individual schools?
School board, school districts. It's really important for parents to get involved with that decision, because one angry parent can really derail the comprehensive sex ed efforts of a school district.
You know, and I have to say that, you know, Valerie was an example of a mom who is able and involved and feels comfortable enough to talk to her kids about sexuality and sex and not becoming pregnant, you know, at an early age. But there are so many parents who don't, who are uncomfortable or, you know, just not there.
Yeah.
And I think it really behooves parents to look at your school district's policy.
And to make sure that they're doing it. And there's a wonderful Bay Area organization called Bay Area Communities for Health Education, bocciinfo.org. And they're an organization that has an ACLU member as part of the team. And they'll actually go, if they'll go to a school district and work with the board, work with the school district to tell them what the law is and really advocate and try and rally the parents and get support. So if someone wants their school to offer it and they know that they're not, they can go to bocciinfo.org and contact them to have them come help advocate.
And if you're a parent listening this morning and you wouldn't want sex education in your child's school, call us. I want to know why. I want to understand that, because I see the value in it. You see the value. Margaret sees the value. There are some people who don't. I'd like to hear from you. You know, this is anonymous. You don't have to give your name if you're uncomfortable with this, but give us a call, 877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
Well, now we're going to take a call from one of my favorite authors, both in the books on sex and sexual health, and amazing books about all kinds of subjects for kids. It's Roby Harris. She's calling us this morning, I think from San Francisco. Hi, Roby.
Hi, Rona. How you doing?
So glad to hear from you. Are you visiting the Bay Area?
I'm visiting some family, right.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, you know, Roby, I'm such a fan
fan of your books, and especially this series. I just want to tell people there are three books, starting 4 and up, It's Not the Stork, 7 and up, It's So Amazing, and for the older teen, It's Perfectly Normal. Tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of why you did these books and what you think we haven't mentioned yet on the show this morning.
Well, many, many, many years ago, because last year we brought out a 15th anniversary completely updated edition of It's Perfectly Normal. And as we all know, as parents, and now I'm a grandparent, kids every year are entering puberty and adolescence. And I think in these days it's even more difficult. When my own kids were growing up, HIV was not, you know, around, but there were sexually transmitted diseases. And kids need all the straightforward, honest, accurate, up-to-date information that they can have. And if we arm them with this information, then most kids, sadly not all, but most kids, and I'm talking about preteens and teens, can make good decisions about their bodies, about sexuality, and about how to stay healthy. This is a health issue. And that's why I believe so much in sex education, and I believe when one's parent, one's school, one's health professional, and many times clergy members, we can all talk with our kids, make sure they have the information.
Right.
Then I think we have a good chance that they'll make good decisions for themselves.
Margaret, I'm sure you'd like to say hello to Roby there, huh?
Hi again, Roby. Good to hear from you. We love your books.
Oh, well, love the work. Well, the two of you do, Rona and new Margaret.
Thank you.
And Roby, I want to say that, you know, part of this is getting this information really into the hands of families.
Right.
And parents. And I think that's where people like Jeffrey and Margaret, you know, they come into play, where they can pass on this information. And I think that, you know, what you've done is you've given us an amazing resource.
Well, I think it's very, you know, as a parent, it's much easier for me to talk with other parents, right, and other educators and other health professionals. But as a parent, when you're talking with your own child, you know, you're sitting there thinking, am I giving the right information? You know, if I give them too much information, what's going to happen? And particularly today, you know, now we know that you know, younger kids and preteens and teens, many are going to the Internet for their information. Some of that information is wonderful and accurate, and some of it is absolutely medically, scientifically inaccurate and can lead our kids to behaviors that are not healthy for them. And I really feel that's why we have to just keep talking with our kids. And one of the reasons we did the book, and I now have this new chapter in It's Perfectly Normal about staying safe and healthy in the Internet and how to navigate the Internet and how, you know, how never meet a stranger. Information, how do you know if the information you're getting is accurate? Well, you can ask a trusted adult. You can ask your nurse. You can ask your pediatrician.
Yeah.
You can ask your parent. And you don't have to be in this alone as a preteen or teen. And I think, you know, all of us, you know, all the adults in kids' lives really need to be talking. And I heard you talking about the schools.
Yeah.
Well, every school has a school board, and they can decide books, which curriculum,
and it takes,
how much they want in there.
And it takes the parents, though, to push that.
Yes.
Jeff, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to, just to kind of stick with this topic about the parents and the school board, it takes one angry parent to derail a school's commitment to doing comprehensive sexuality education. If a parent doesn't want their kids to receive comprehensive sex ed, please opt them out. Don't go in and destroy the chances for other students to get the valuable information. And if parents are supportive of this, please be vocal. Get together with other parents, talk to your school boards, make them do it. There's no enforcement to the laws at the moment. There's no money to support the mandated HIV programs. So the schools are in a really difficult situation. And like I said, one parent can derail the whole process.
Yes, thank you for that. And Margaret, do you want to add anything before we say goodbye to Roby here?
Absolutely. I think just piggybacking on what Jess said, one angry parent can derail our best efforts in bringing these resources to kids. But, you know, with Bachi, it was one angry parent who took it into her head to make things change in a school district that was not providing medically accurate factual information. So it's important. And driving force like that parent changed the system and brought better, more comprehensive sex ed to that school district.
So, yes,
one parent can derail it, but one parent could also be a driving force for better.
Absolutely.
That's a great point. And I want to invite parents who have younger kids to call in. I'll give you a copy of It's Not the Stork for age 4 and up, or It's So Amazing for age 7 and up. And Roby Harris, thank you for your work. Do you have a new book coming out?
Well, we do, but it's not until next fall, but it's for very, very young children, because I believe we need to talk to our kids and answer their questions about, you know, why is my body like mommy's body,
yes,
or daddy's body? So I have a book coming out next fall called For Kids 2.5 and Up.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
It's naming all the parts of the body, and it's called Who Has What?
Oh, I love it. And I have a 2.5-year-old grandson, and I could just see this is a perfect age to talk about, you know, body parts and noses and elbows and penises and things like that.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Roby Harris.
Thank you,
Roby. For keeping kids and families healthy. Really appreciate it.
I hope next time you're going to come to the Bay Area, you'll let me know and I'll take you to lunch, okay?
I'll love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Roby. It's great.
Can I just toss out a real quick resource?
Yeah.
So SECUS, Sexuality Information Education Council of the U.S., SECUS.org, has a wonderful, they have two different directories around developmental stages for youth and what youth should know. They're free. They can be downloaded in PDF format off their website, and they have a lot of other wonderful resources for parents, educators,
great,
and community.
We'll have Zan put that on our website, too. Let's take another call. We have, I think it's Salome from Oakland. Good morning. Hi, you're on the air. Let's see if we've got her. Maybe. Looks like I lost her. Well, hopefully she'll call us back. We're talking about teen pregnancy prevention, unintended teen pregnancy prevention. And we'd love to hear from you before our break. We have another minute here. Let's see if Salome is with us from Oakland.
Hi. Hello.
Good morning. Am I saying your name right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
My comment on sex education with the child.
Yeah.
The proper age that, well, my mom started me out at 12, and she showed me the human anatomy of male and female, and she showed me that what the cause and effects of it, if you get pregnant, if you don't use protection.
Yes.
And she also told me to quit. Abstinence is very important. She told me to wait till you're married, actually. But she said if it do happen, she taught me how to take care of a child. She introduced dolls, like little Barbie doll and Ken doll.
Uh-huh.
Told me about the male and female, and then she bought a baby doll to introduce when I was a little bit younger. But then she sat me down and told me it takes love and nurture to take care of a child, and it's a big responsibility. And she also told me if you do have a child, you don't come first anymore.
That's a good motivator not to have one too young. Did you have children yourself?
I have one son, and he is 21. And yes, I had him at an early age, but I did get married.
And you did get married, and you probably turned out to be a good mom.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm very proud of my son. I would say I would have liked to wait it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I could have experienced life on my own.
Yeah.
First, but God has blessed me with a child. That's the main thing. And I nurtured him and raised him as a good man.
Well,
he's actually I'm getting married now.
Oh, congratulations! And you're gonna be a grandma. And I really love what you said about you. Just talk about your mom in such a loving way that she really wasn't afraid to talk to you. You know, we're about to go on a break now, but I want to give you some tickets to Monterey Bay Aquarium. Maybe you and your son can go together before he gets married. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And we'll be taking your call in just a minute, so stay with us.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Read with your children to help them develop a love of books for life. Research shows that young children who read often with their parents and caregivers are better prepared when they start kindergarten. That's because reading builds confidence and vocabulary skills. Look for books that show the characters doing familiar things your child does, such as playing and eating. This keeps your child involved in the story. And remember to visit the library often. Libraries are a great place for kids to find lots of books on their favorite topics. Many libraries also offer story times. Ask librarians about free resources and activities you can do together. Don't forget to sign up for free library cards, too. For more information about the importance of reading, contact your local Bay Area First Five or visit firstfivekids.org/bay. That's first, the number five, kids.org/bay.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Unveil the secrets of seahorses and dive into extreme aquarium adventures at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Leafy and weedy sea dragons, seahorses, and pipe horses can't wait to show you their new home and the secret lives of seahorses. That's not all that's new. Regal flamingos, dapper Magellanic penguins, scarlet and white ibis, and other striking species make their debut in Hot Pink Flamingos, Stories of Hope in a Changing Sea. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit MontereyBayAquarium.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Hello, my name is Robbie. I'm a devoted father of a 5-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl. I used to get frustrated when my kids would do things that I would disapprove of. Then I heard Nurse Rona say that kids' behavior has meaning, and I needed to look and see what my son was asking of me. Nurse Rona helps thousands of parents like me each week with issues about health, child care, education, and anything and everything pertaining to children. In these challenging economic times, parents need more help than ever, and Childhood Matters needs your help. With your support, we can stay on the air and continue to provide valuable information and inspiration to people like you. Join me in helping Childhood Matters, a nonprofit organization who needs your financial support. No donation is too small or too large to help Nurse Rona stay on the air. Go to childhoodmatters.org to make a donation or call them at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-KIDS. I'm speaking to you about a show I am passionate about, a show that has helped me be the best father I can be. Please help.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Jeffrey Gould, Training and Curriculum Coordinator for the Teenage Program at Contra Costa Health Services, and Margaret Madams, Senior Regional Director with Planned Parenthood, Shasta Diablo's Community Services and Education Department. And we're talking with you. It's great to hear your questions and your calls. You know, I want to take a listen right now to the voices of a teen parent. So let's go ahead and hear what she has to say.
I'm assistant producer Falsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with a 19-year-old mother of two about her experiences as a teen parent. How old were you when you first became pregnant? How did you find out, and what were your initial thoughts and feelings?
I was 16 years old, and I took a home pregnancy test, and it came out positive. It was shocking, scary. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. I was crying because I didn't know what my parents' reaction was going to be. The first person I thought of was my parents, my dad and my mom.
And how did your family react to the pregnancy?
My dad, he told me that he was never, ever going to buy me any clothes or spoil me anymore. He told me that the father of my baby had to do it now, that he had to step up and be a man. And my mom told me that she'll be there for me and that she'll always have my back. And my sisters were very disappointed because they thought I wasn't going to graduate. They thought I was just going to drop high school and just become a mom. But I had to show them that it was not going to be like that, that I was still going to continue school. They didn't believe me at first, but now that I accomplished it, they believe in me.
Were there services, resources, and people that helped you along the way?
Oh my God, there's so many people that helped me. Without them, I wouldn't be able to graduate. My teacher from the Adolescent Parent Program and the YMCA of the East Bay, Y Team, and Brighter Beginnings. And yeah, without them, I wouldn't be able to succeed.
And how has your social life changed since becoming a mother?
Before, I would have a lot of friends. Now, I don't really talk to any of them because they don't have kids. They're out there doing their lives, doing what the average normal teenage people do. And I'm here just taking care of my kids, going to school, working, which is very hard for me, so I don't even have time to talk to them.
And what would you like people to know about being a teen parent? And do you have any advice for youth out there?
The safe way to not get pregnant is by not having sex. Or other than that, birth control. There's a lot of birth control methods for young girls to prevent pregnancy because it's very, very, very hard. I didn't understand how hard it was until I actually went through it. Young people, don't have kids till you know you're ready.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Falsha Zuschlag.
Wow, very wise words. Margaret Madams, very wise words. She's a great spokesperson, isn't she? And probably a great mom. Margaret, are you there?
I am here.
Yeah. I was just thinking that she's a great spokesperson for why we need more education.
Absolutely. And I think when you opened the show, Roni, you said there are a lot of good teen parents out there doing a very good job. And I think that's important for us to remember. It is doable. There's a lot of support services out there. The person in question spoke about the Adolescent Family Life Program. It's a case management program that helps teens graduate, helps kids, helps them have a healthy pregnancy and get the resources that they need.
And I want to encourage parents, when you hear the news about your child being pregnant, hold your reaction, zip your mouth a little bit, because, you know, I think you really want to take some deep breaths and then not say something that you'll regret that you've said, for sure.
Count to 10 or 1,000.
Count to 10 or 1,000. So I just want to go back for a minute to what Roby Harris brought up about her new edition adding information on the internet. Jeffrey, you had some things to say about
that. Yeah, the internet can be a wonderful resource for parents. I mean, just even typing in parent talking to kids about sex, you come up with just tons of resources. You have to pick through them. There are some good ones. I think that there are also a lot of really good websites for youth. In fact, a lot of times on our work website and also with materials that we give out to youth, we give out sites. GoAskAlice.com is one of those. I believe that's a Planned Parenthood site. Margaret can confirm that or not. And it's important for parents to sit down with youth and be aware of what youth are doing on the internet and maybe sit down with them and go to some of these sites together. But the internet is also pretty dangerous as far as youth making connections. I mean, friends with benefits is this big thing about youth connecting up on the internet for sex. They've got sexting. There's a lot of technology stuff that parents should be aware of. So the internet can be your friend, but if you're not aware, paying attention, it can also do a lot of damage.
Margaret, you want to comment on that?
Absolutely. You know, there's a ton of information out there, and sifting through, as Jeff said, from the good from the bad. I think our kids are bombarded with messages about sexuality, and most of it isn't positive. And so, you know, use these as teachable moments. Sit down with your child, find out what they are hearing, what they are saying, the music videos, the all of the websites that they're accessing. But, you know, using the web as a resource is a positive way as a parent that you can get help. But, you know, do monitor what your kid, not even just your teen, your young child, is seeing and hearing. Those as the teachable moments for discussion. Open that conversation. Keep it going. Start it early, little and often.
And I think it just raises that whole question about the media influence, the music, everything that we're seeing in terms of sexuality. I mean, this is a whole other subject we can go on for hours about. But, you know, I think we're seeing in middle school where our students are having oral sex, and they're doing other things that they just think now are expected in a way. Isn't that true?
Well, it's this whole thing about going to high school, and it's this pressure to have oral sex before you go to high school. It's kind of like the rite of passage. And then, of course, prom, which for years has been...
Take a deep breath here. I know. I know it's true, but I got to take a deep breath.
Well, and I do a lot of teacher training, so I hear from teachers about kids getting caught in the bushes and in the bathrooms at school, and I've heard students complain about other kids in the bathrooms having sex. So it's something that's just rampant.
And I think parents aren't often aware of this, right? I mean, it's the kind of thing that I think it's easy to put blinders on, both because you're not around, and it's also like so different than, you know, when parents were growing up.
Yeah.
So what you're dealing with, parents, is you've got to start your kids early talking about this, thinking about this. Margaret Maddams, we're just about out of time. Tell people how they can get information about your amazing work.
Okay. So the website, for Planned Parenthood, ShastaDiablo.org, talks all about our program, starting with our program, My Body, Myself, for the kindergarten first graders, and going up through puberty and into our young teen. That's ShastaDiablo, like the mountains.org.
Well, thank you, Margaret,
for you.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are a wealth of information. I love the work you do. I hope we'll talk again soon.
Oh, I hope so, too.
Jeffrey Gould, a final word for parents and how you people can get your help?
3 to 5. 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. is the time when a lot of this stuff happens. Get your kids involved in after-school programs, youth development programs. Keep them busy during that time. And talk to your kids.
And youth development is key.
Make sure that
doesn't get cut with all our budget cuts. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for joining us. It's such a pleasure to have both of you on. Stay tuned for our community report now with Lacey Daniel. She has important information about the increase in cases of pertussis. She'll be talking with Dr. Sumana Reddy in Monterey County. Have yourself a wonderful day. It's been great to talk to you all this morning. And I'll see you next week.
I'm Associate Producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. Forget swine flu. There's a new health epidemic in California. Pertussis, better known as whooping cough, has infected more than 900 people so far in 2010, four times as many as this time last year. This week I spoke with Dr. Sumana Reddy, a family physician in Salinas, about reasons for the outbreak and how to recognize the symptoms of pertussis.
We have discovered that whooping cough immunity to the vaccine wanes or comes down in adults. There is an increasing number of adults who are not immune to whooping cough, even though they got their vaccine when they were children. The state has made a recommendation that adults between the ages of 20 and 64 should get vaccinated along with their tetanus booster. Unfortunately, this vaccine costs money. It's not terribly expensive. It's about $35, but oftentimes that's not covered by health insurance plans. And since adult vaccines haven't been that much of a focus, children can end up going unprotected.
So I think many people are wondering about how they can tell the difference between a regular cough and the whooping cough.
And I think most doctors who've treated whooping cough will tell you that if you've ever seen one case, it's unmistakable and you'll never forget it again. The cough, as it starts up, it just keeps going and going and going, builds to a crescendo, and is so strong that people have even broken their ribs coughing that hard. In addition, the cough often ends with this characteristic whoop. There can be a fever, and the cough goes on for sometimes weeks and months before it's diagnosed as whooping cough and treated.
That was Dr. Sumana Reddy. To learn more about the whooping cough epidemic, visit the past shows page on our website, childhoodmatters.org. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Sirona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family. Get up, everybody,
join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.